Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And 107.3 WXGL HD2 St. Pete. Live from the WeatherTight Windows studio. Now, it's the Mike Calta Show.
9:25 of the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Sometimes we get long-winded, and therefore we have to take long breaks. So I appreciate your patience. Dan Soder is here with us. You know Dan Soder. From Billions, you know him from The Bonfire on Sirius XM. That is you and Big J.
Yeah.
Just the two of you.
And the crew. We got our, obviously, like, you got your crew, we got our crew.
Tell me who is on your crew.
We got DJ Lewitsky, we got Christine Marie Evans, Jacob Patat, and our Black King, the Black Tiger, Louis Johnson.
The Black King, the Black Tiger.
Yeah, dude, he rules. We got a whole studio full of people, which, as you know, during the pandemic was weird, because you're, like, separated from everybody.
That was awkward, but thankfully I kind of had half of this room built. I think last time you were here, the room was not developed. It was just, there was a wall behind where you were.
I did Calta and Kelly, and you were building it.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
mid, yeah. You were mid-construct when I was in the guest rooms.
Yeah. It was a rough time, but thankfully we had this thing ready to go, so we could all just... The number one reason we didn't go back to the studio, besides the fact that I just like to walk downstairs in my pajamas, was that the COVID still wouldn't let us have guests. So, like, you can come in and wear a mask and take COVID tests and stuff, but no other guests are allowed in the building. I'm like, well, I'm just going to do it at home then.
Yeah, we early, Jim McClure.
Yeah,
shout out Big Jim.
I like Jim.
Yeah, Jim rules. Jim was like, do you guys want to come in studio? Like, you're going to be the only show that does it.
Yeah.
Like, before Jim and Sam, before Bennington.
We figured you have enough diseases in your body already.
Yeah, and we're like, we've seen Big J's act. Yeah. Why don't you come in here? The guy's willing
to... Well, Jay's been wearing gloves for years.
Yeah, so. But fingerless. Yeah, so the whole problem exists. You can touch his palms, it's not his fingertips. But we were originally like, yeah, we absolutely want to. So we got most of our crew, except Jacob, to come in. And then it became the thing with guests, where they're like... We can't have them in, and then we're like, well, we're not going to have them on the phone.
Yeah.
So we went a little bit.
Suck.
We just went a little bit. Like, yeah. We're not going to have guests. Yeah. And now people are coming in, and you're like, it's funny to see the other shows, because some of them are acting like, oh, we're back. And we're like, we've been here for a year. Yeah. Like, what are you guys talking about? Right. We've been in these hallways.
Yeah, that's the other thing with us, is that everybody was like, we don't know what's going to happen to the business, and people aren't working, if they're still going to be in the cars listening to the radio, if they don't leave the house. Our ratings went up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, we'll take it.
Also, because people wanted to listen, because people want that
something.
People wanted that feeling of normal behavior of like, oh, okay, I'm listening to my show again.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me, this pandemic. I will never.
Someone who lost their mom is like, all right, Mike.
Sorry. Yeah. But I never want to leave the house. I was the only one who ever left the house, and that was like so that I could go to supermarkets and buy some food for everybody.
Yeah.
So I was like dropping off food at my in-laws, dropping off food at my mother's, and coming here. And I was like, this is my dream to just have to never have to leave this house.
Because you have an estate. And also, New York City was like being in a kennel.
Yes.
You were like, I would leave to walk my dog and come home. Now, by the way, my girlfriend and I, right up our alley, too.
Yeah.
You want us to be in sweats and play video games and smoke bowls all day?
Perfect.
Done and done.
Yeah.
But it started, what sucked about New York is you couldn't get any outdoor. You were just locked in there.
And people don't understand, and in New York, the apartments are small, even if you have a nice apartment.
Even if you're doing very well.
And one of the things that is a selling point when you're getting an apartment in New York is how much sunlight you get because of the other buildings. And it is so depressing to be in an apartment with no sunlight. And I'm not even like, I never want to be like, open the windows.
Yeah.
But if you can't get it, it drives you crazy.
And it's a different feeling of like watching all the LA comics being like, this is tough. It's like, shut up. You got a backyard.
Yeah.
Just go outside.
Although I went to both LA and New York in the pandemic, and it was a weird, LA seemed very much like Mad Max, the reality version of Mad Max. Like, Mad Max was a fun movie, but this is really what it's like. Everybody's living under bridges. Things are closed. You couldn't go. Like, somebody told me I love barbecue food, and somebody sent me a list of all these great barbecue restaurants. Right? None of them were open.
Yeah.
None of them were open. And I tried to go to all these places that were just, you couldn't. I went to the Funko Pop store, and the line to get in was a quarter of a mile long because they were only letting 15 people in. I said, if you think I'm waiting on a line to get into a store, out of your mind.
That's what I love. New York City is as you know, being from there, they're like, oh yeah, we can't go in the restaurant. We'll build it on the street.
Yeah.
Build these huts. And just everyone was like, even comedy shows were like, LA was like, we're not going to do comedy for a while. New York's like, yeah, go outside.
Yeah.
You're we'll in put the on a roof. You're on the park now.
Yeah.
Go talk to these heroin kids walking by.
Get in your car. Flash your lights at me.
Oh, yeah. My God, dude. I did that Colin Quinn HBO special.
That had to be, I watched it. It had to be so tough to do.
It was like, here's the thing is like, it's Colin. He's the god,
right?
And it's Bobby. It's like all my, it's all the guys I look up to. So I'm like, oh, look, I got when they offered it, I'm like, I gotta do that. And then I watched the set, and I was like, man, it just looks like I'm bombing because you're just in front of a car.
Yeah,
you're just people in the cars like flashing their lights, and you're like, this isn't.
And how hard is that for you to do? Like, I guess there's probably you running your set alone in the beginning to yourself in the house anyway.
Just you can't do that. You mean annoying my girlfriend?
Yeah.
She's like, I got it. It's a joke about me. And you're like, I know. I got no one else to tell this thing to.
I watched all those guys up there Bobby killing and people flashing headlights on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's...
But there was people that did it right. Nate and Bert did it right.
Yeah.
You know, Bert was out touring. Nate was out touring, and they really like...
Poor Nate did his by the airport.
Oh my God, that special was so funny. He was like, I'm pausing for airplanes.
Yeah.
He's just stopping. But like, you know, there were guys that adapted, and I think everyone adapted, and we all started doing shows up on rooftops and just getting used to it. And that was where my heat with Chappelle came in, was because the stand was like, we're going to open back up inside illegally.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, this is going to be fun, because the stand, the new stand up on 16th, they moved from 20th to 16th Street.
Right.
The basement room is one of the best rooms in the city. It's like the cellar and the stand main room, best rooms in the city. So when I asked Patrick the booker, I was like, you opening downstairs? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, we're going to do some shows. It's going to be socially distant, but we're going to be inside with...
It's like old school when they used to do... you have to have a password to get in.
Yeah, like a speakeasy.
Speakeasy show.
And there's like, you know, the low ceilings. Because when you go outside, you realize comedy laughs go up.
Yeah.
So big rooms are never good for stand-up.
Right.
So this, it was like, oh my God. I was just geeked out to be like a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a ceiling to trap the laughs in. And I'm actually going to feel like I'm having a good set. And they like built it up. And they're like, we're going to do these inside shows. And then an email comes out where they're like, Dave Chappelle's doing shows. So he found out and booked 5 nights of shows.
Oh, wow.
So the first night that I think I'm going to go do stand-up at the stand, they're like, you're back outside. And not only are you back outside, but now all of Dave Chappelle's fans are standing in line on the sidewalk waiting to get tested to go in.
Oh, my God.
So you're going to bomb in front of a bunch of hot, cool people. So I was just on 16th Street just bombing as everyone's like, I'm going to see Dave Chappelle and Kanye might show up. And you're like, I hate this.
By the way, that's the Kanye factor. The Kanye came to a Bucks game this year. I don't know what attracted him. I was in New York, and I went to a restaurant, and there was like a million people at this restaurant outside. Of course, I go, what is that, right? And they're like, Kanye and Kim are eating in there. And I'm like, all these people were outside. I was like, this is ridiculous.
So I'd probably say, out of all my famous friends, we were talking about Pete, the craziest thing is for him to have a beef with Kanye West.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay.
That's me and my brother in 1985 clearing the furniture in our bedroom and be like, let's play WrestleMania. I'm Hulk Hogan, you're Macho Man.
And now Hulk Hogan's suing you.
And then Hulk Hogan's suing me.
Yeah.
That's Pete and Kanye.
He's like, I think we got a case, brother. And Kanye's like, I'm the greatest harasser of all time. No one can harass people better than me. But him calling him Skeet was legitimately funny. Legitimately got me to laugh out loud.
Right,
I was like,
right.
Dude, he is a genius.
Because you know Pete was listening to him in his basement and loving Kanye and trying to dress like him and all that. And all of a sudden now he's Now, not only is Kanye mad at you, but you're banging his ex-wife.
Dude, I saw the funniest tweet when all that was going down. I wish I could find out who tweeted it, because I would want to give proper credit. But the tweet was, man, can you imagine Pete Davidson in high school walking outside of a house party as they're playing Kanye's Twisted Fantasy, Twisted Dark Fantasy, going, man, I'm going to make this guy hate me. yeah, dude, that's what it is. It's
that
like
is so funny.
It's got to be crazy just to have an iconic artist be like, you're dating my ex. I hate you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, want to legit kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real weird feeling, especially now that you, like, you're associated with that person for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, like, with Hogan, when the case got dropped, were you over it? Were you like, yeah, whatever?
Well, I honestly, I'm not allowed to talk about a lot of it, but I don't, last time I did what I thought I could talk about, I got in a lot of trouble, but okay. I will tell you this. I wished that I could have, like, because people still wonder what was his involvement. Plus, I got another moron in town constantly telling people a lie that I did this and I did that. And I was like, well, finally, I'll have my day in court. And I didn't, because now I'm like, well, now everybody just assumes what they assume. And I never got. It was funny because they subpoenaed my phone records for like 3 years.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I was like, but I mean, like, I was texting my wife some dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? What
they go, we also got your pictures.
Yeah.
And good shots, dude.
Then they were like, no, it's only phone numbers that are associated with this. And I was like, okay. And I go, well, that's fine. I have nothing to hide there. And then everybody's like, oh, we got him now. We got his phone records. And then they went through my email. They had 3 years of my email. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Even though you know there's nothing, when they tell you they're going to get your phone and email records, you have to be like, oh, no.
Well, I wasn't oh, no for them. I was oh, no for other things. Like, I've done other stuff that's bad. Not illegal, but like,
sure.
I've sent mean emails before. I'm like, sure. Is everybody going to see me, you know, use that word in my email? Like, I don't want to know that. That's the stuff I was worried about.
Yeah, it's like when a guy walks by you on the street and you're arguing with your girlfriend. You're like, this guy thinks I'm a psycho.
Right,
but this guy doesn't know that she earned this, you know. Yeah. We were in this together. He doesn't know, you don't know the backstory.
Yeah. You send your wiener to Bobby every week.
That's so funny.
I took one really good picture of my penis.
Yeah.
And I send it to Bobby all the time because it makes him mad. And then I like to see him in a restaurant or something talking to somebody. And then I just text him and he checks his text and he looks at me. I like to see the face that he makes.
Bloop, bloop. The sigh.
He turned it back. He turned it around on me one time. He was talking to a girl at Side Splitters, and I send it to him, and he looks at it, and he goes, huh. And he shows it. I guess I didn't think that through.
Yeah, Bobby rules.
Yeah.
Always the best.
Yeah. So you know, that kind of stuff got me twisted a little bit. Like, I wished, like, and then the thing is that I wish that I could go, okay, it's over now, let's talk about it. And we can't, because part of the thing, if it's
court records,
we can't. So, well, it's funny, because even that, it's just whatever it is, I'm just not allowed to talk about it. And that always implies to somebody that, oh, he's hiding something. I just legally can't.
Yeah, I don't want to get sued.
I'm happy to. I can't.
Yeah, that stinks. But, man, that feeling of you did it. You, like, went through it with an iconic person.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad, though, because my last meeting with him, he had been getting pilled up and coming at me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, it was before anything to do with the tape or whatever, he and I just didn't like each other, and I thought, well, this is the greatest thing ever. Hulk Hogan's threatening me on Twitter.
Yeah, you're getting heat from the Hulkster.
And he'd say things like, I'm going to get Ric Flair, and then that cowhead guy is next. I'm like, he's threatening me in WWE style. This is the best thing ever.
You go, am I in a faction with Ric Flair?
Right. And then he opens up this restaurant that they put his name on it, and we just were relentless. We were saying that he was buttering, that he'd be breading the shrimp there for coconut shrimp. And, you know, we were just busting balls.
Come by and get the leg drop crab legs, brother.
And Jimmy Hart legit was like your host. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, Jim, table for two. Come on, baby. What's it, a party of six? All right. Come on, baby.
So then his people called me and they're like, hey, what's your beef with him? I go, he keeps trying to beat me up on Twitter. I'm like, I have no beef with him. I'm cool. And they're like, you guys want to have lunch and talk about it? I go, absolutely. And we did. And he was cool. And we talked about a whole bunch of stuff. And then all of a sudden somebody got in his head and fed him some bad information. And that's how everything started. But at my last interaction before him, well, that was actually pretty good. He's a decent guy, you know.
There was a feeling I had of, like, because I grew up a huge Hulkamaniac.
Yeah,
I'm still a diehard wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I was at Moon Tower Comedy Festival, and I see Jeff Dye. And Jeff Dye, another big
wrestler. Love Jeff Dye, yeah.
Love Jeff Dye. Big wrestling fan. He sees me. He's like, dude, I got to tell you this story. I'm in Tampa. I'm doing the club. Hogan comes out to the show.
I remember that, yeah.
I hang out with Hulk Hogan. He's like, the next day, I'm like, Hogan's like, come on my boat, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Come hang out with me. We're going to go on my boat and drink some beers. And so I go on Hogan's boat, and we're drinking beers. And he's like telling me stories about Macho Man, and he's doing the Macho Man. And I'm like, hey, dang, Hulkster, that's a good Macho Man. And he goes, well, I'll tell you, brother, there's a comedian that does Macho Man. And he's talking about me.
Yeah.
And he's like, said some unkind things about me as Macho Man. And he's like, but I can take a joke. And I know it's beef with you. And I'm like, he can't take a joke. And I was like, he told me this. I'm outside of a hotel in Austin, Texas. Legit, like, is he mad at me? Like, worried, like, is Hulk Hogan mad at me for doing an impression of his dead former best friend? And it was the video where I was making, it was when he got caught saying the N-word.
Oh, yeah,
and I was doing the Macho Man, trying to make him cool with black people. Being like, yeah, come on. I got a friend, but I can't bring him around if you're going to be weird about it. You can't be saying they smell like cocoa butter. Yeah, it's offensive. Stop asking to touch their hair. I was like, oh, man. I legitimately was like, oh, man, is he mad at me?
That is the best Macho Man. Dude, I was pretty tight with Randy for a while.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And he would just, I mean, he'd call me and leave me messages.
How do you not? Oh my God!
I used to look at my brother.
Was it like benign stuff?
Yes. Well, sometimes it was like stuff that we went to concerts together.
Oh my God!
No! It called him one day and he was. We were going to see Marilyn Manson.
Great. Yeah, I love goth rock. Better than an agent of Satan.
He was dating that gorgeous George girl. Remember her?
Yeah.
So she was into that stuff. So sure. She went to go. So
that was a WCW run.
Yeah. Yes.
Where he was all jacked.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he's like,
he was ladies.
I said, are you going? He called me and he goes, are you going to the concert? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And he's like,
think he's going to do dope shows? He's like, yeah, I wonder if he's going to do the Annie Lennox cover. I love Annie Lennox. Yeah, sweet dreams are made of these. So funny. The thought of him being geeked for Marilyn Manson.
He's like, it's me and Big Show and Brian
awesome.
Adams.
Awesome.
Yeah, and he's like, we're going to meet at the dollhouse and we got to transport bus. Would you like to ride with us?
Yes.
That's the way but he'd tell me all these things, and then he'd just be like a real human, and he'd go, would you like to ride with us?
We're leaving at 7.
Right. I go, yeah, and he goes, meet us at 7 sharp. And that's where he was great. And then that night was one of the weirdest nights because...
Yeah, you're with Kona Crush and the Macho Man Randy Savage and the Giant.
Oh, we were all waiting to meet Marilyn Manson. So I told the story a million times, but I got to tell you. So we go... I read Marilyn Manson's book and it had a bunch of weird pictures of him in there, like petting baby deers and stuff. And it gave me nightmares for days. So we go to the show... And they bring us in this room, and they're like, all right, he's going to be out here. You know, we're all just waiting and waiting. And like 10 minutes go by, I'm just standing in this room empty. And I go, you know what's weird is my brother used to be the trainer for the Tampa Bay Storm. I go, this was their old locker room. And I start walking, and I go, and around this corner was where his – and I turn the corner, and the whole time Marilyn Manson had been sitting there in a chair just like this.
Around the corner?
While we were in the other room the whole time.
So funny.
So I turn the room, and I go, my brother's thing. And I turn around, and I go, oh, he's right there.
He goes,
it freaked me out, man.
Did I scare you?
Yeah, dude.
He goes, that was my job. My job is to scare you.
So at the time, we didn't have cell phone pick cameras, so we all had those small disposable cameras.
The wind-ups.
And we took pictures, and Randy called me on Monday, and he goes, hey, it's bad news. And I go, what happened? He goes, get the camera back. And I go, how? He goes, your picture at Manson didn't come out. And I go, oh. And I go, it's all right. It's no big deal. And he goes, kind of is a big deal. And I go, okay, well, you want to make me feel bad about it? Yes, it is a big deal.
You should be very disappointed.
By the way, I love talking as Randy, but I can't do it with you because you're so good at it.
You're like, dude.
Is the show over?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You can do the after show.
Do we want to go long?
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Carmen's like, yeah, dude. Yeah, launch
she
it.
She has to do the after show.
She's like, launch it. Launch it. Go extra.
Yeah, go long.
Nope, that's it. It's over. I got things to do. Soder, I love you.
I love seeing you, dude.
You're the best, man.
I love seeing you.
I can sit here and talk wrestling with you for
a while. Oh, my God, dude.
By the way, everybody's loving it on Twitter and stuff, and they love your Dave Chappelle imitation, too.
Yeah. Oh, Macho Man, I'm going to see you in a steel cage, man. I'm going to fight you for the WCW Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. Chappelle versus Macho Man.
Yeah.
Do that with a run-in by Pete Davidson, and he hits him with those bags with the phones in them.
My God! My God! Pete Davidson's here with a Yonder bag.
Yeah, those are illegal. Those got phones in them. Yeah, you can't do that. He's like, hit him, Pete! Hit him! I'll tell Kanye to lay off of you. Hit him with the Yonder bag, Pete. Do it, you big stoner with butthole eyes.
Like, I don't have butthole eyes. That's unfair. Why would you say that, Dave?
Oh,
you're my best friend. I love you.
You're the best, dude. Go see Dan Soder at Side Splitters tonight.
Yeah,
and tomorrow
don't.
Night.
I won't be. Don't yell out Macho Man, you idiots.
No. It'll come on its own.
Yeah, it won't. But you know, you can listen to podcasts.
Go see Soder. Go see Mike V. Suarez and bike salesman Christoph.
Christoph, dude, he's got a cool name.
Yeah, good luck in prison with that. thank you, Christoph. Side Splitters 960-1197. We are out for the weekend. We will see you back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.